Hello and welcome to our Revive service. It's good to have you with us. My name is Aaron Hesketh. This week, Pastor Aaron writes, "When a fish is out of water, is it still a fish? Sure it is. It cannot survive unless it lives in the water, but the water does not dictate what the fish is. Is the fish still a fish if it does not swim? Sure it is. It may not be healthy or it may be tired, but just because a fish does not swim does not mean it is not a fish. Our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the one who died, was buried, and rose again 3 days later to take our sin away is the means to having a relationship with God. Our works are the evidence that our faith is genuine. Our faith is what allows us to say we are a Christ follower. Our good works collaborate with our faith, proving it to be true. What are your works telling you and others about your faith?" Here is Pastor Aaron.
Well, good morning. Good to see each of you. If you have your Bibles, you would turn, please, with me to the book of James. Today we'll be in James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. My name is Pastor Aaron, senior pastor, lead pastor here at West Hill. We're so glad that you've joined with us as we come and worship our great God. If we can ever be a help or assistance to you or to your family, please do not hesitate to let us know. One of the ways that you can let us know that is through the communication card that Andrew shared about a little bit earlier. So I hope you had a good week. The weather is breaking, hopefully in the right direction this time. Spring is coming. That's right. It's a joy to be with you. I don't know how much you know this, but when I get up to preach on Sunday mornings, I was telling Alana and I were chatting a little bit this morning, and she's working on her ukulele and learning how to play that, and we're giving her a hard time, like, hey, you got to play up front and, you know, use that gift. And she's like, yeah, but I'd be so nervous. And I said, I still get nervous when I get up to preach. And she kind of looked at me like, really? And I said, yeah, and I've done it for lots of years, lots of times. And so for me, when I get up and I look out and I see you, it is a huge encouragement to me. So thank you. Thank you for being here. And there's 100,000 different places that you could have chosen to be at, to be. You could have said, hey, I'll just stay at home. We lost an hour, so we'll live stream it through the internet. But you're here. And that's no offense to those of you who are live streaming right now. We're glad that you're tuning in. It's just, I can't see you. You see me, but I can't see you. And so it is a joy to bring the word. It is a challenge. This is a text that we look at today that has been hotly debated through many, many thousands of years to look at and to look and to see what is James' purpose? Why is he writing this? How was his attended audience applying this and to live this out? Faith and works. If you talk to anybody today, that's the challenge of how we look at faith and view faith, but how we view works and what we do with those two in our attempt or the world's attempt to gain God's favor or to try to have God love us more. And I just want to clearly tell you that the Bible tells us that God loves us as much as He will ever love us right now. He loves you not because of what you've done. God loves you because He created you and He placed you here on this earth. And He wants to have a relationship with you and with me. And that takes faith on our part. That takes a trust. And so as we look at the text today, I want to very clearly lay out in the very beginning, when we talk about works, don't take this text out of context. Look at what is happening around, but also the context of the rest of the Bible. You know, when you look at how other false religions and other cults, especially cults, have started, usually cults start from a passage in the Bible. And what they do is they will take one or two verses and they'll pull it out of its context and they will make it say something that the writer originally never intended it to be. And so we want to be careful as we look at James chapter 2. But let me be real, we need challenge this morning. I hope you want challenge from the Word of God, and I hope that's part of why you're here. You want to honor God, you want to glorify Him, you want to lift His name up. We need challenged. I need challenge. And if I can be a little transparent here, I was telling Scotty this morning a little bit about this. Reading my Bible this morning and my devotional, and there's a psalm that talks about God being our guide. And so with that, I kind of thought about our wilderness trip and having a guide, and that guide is critical to take us where we need to go and provide the things that we need. My first guide told us when we were allowed to get water, what lakes were safe, what lakes were stagnant, and where you didn't want to drink from because there would be consequences. And so as I thought about that this morning, I thought, oh, God, you are such a great God. You are a great God, and you are my guide, and you guide me and you direct me to exactly what I need. And I started asking myself, why don't I not allow God to guide me? And so I wrote a few things in my journal, and pride, selfishness, the fact that I want to do what I want to do sometimes. And then I got this little thought, like, hey, Aaron, you're doing pretty good though. I'm like, thanks, Lord. I'm getting there. I'm maturing, which is a good thing. But I have to admit, I was, even in that thought, I was a little prideful. And so God, in His great way of working, knows the true intention of our hearts. I was encouraged, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to go preach, and let's go to church. Let's go enjoy the people. So I pull in and walk in, and the first thing that Rick tells me is, hey, I think we have a problem. All right. Thank you. That's what every pastor signed up for, right? There's water. For those of you who have been around, you know how much I have enjoyed water these last many years in our basement. But we had a hose that came unhooked from the outside. And so, very quickly, my selfishness, my pride, kicks into play. Like, really? Again? Like, really? Why am I having to do this again? God, I'm tired of dealing with this. And in the midst of that, I walk down to the basement to turn off the pump so we can rehook the line in. Not a big deal. What it is it was God, okay? And so I'm not here complaining. What I'm here saying is, on the way down to the basement, I felt the Spirit saying to me, hey, Aaron, check your attitude. How good is your attitude now? You got it all together, huh? I'm like, all right. Now, outwardly, nobody could probably see that. I didn't ask Rick if he could see that, but it wasn't like I was angry or mad or saying, this stupid, But inwardly, I was prideful. I share that because I think as every time we come to the text, we need to be sensitive to the Spirit. We need to be sensitive to realize that we have not yet arrived, and none of us have. And the minute that I think that I have, that, oh man, I'm doing so well, and this is going so great, and I've over... Look out, right? That verse, if you have pride, take heed, lest ye fall, okay? And so today, I want to encourage us as we come to the text that we ask the Lord to open our minds, open our eyes, but open our heart too. Because I don't think there's any one of us who has all of this down. And so the challenge today, and the challenge for me preaching, bringing the word, is for us to understand what it means. But if you just hear the word and you don't live the word, then what we've done here is in vain. All right. Again, the context has told us that. Context of James. James has reminded them by starting off and saying, hey, here, you 12 tribes that are scattered abroad who are going through trials, hardships, difficulties, stay underneath that. Don't try to run away from it. God is there, and He wants to help provide all that you need. If you lack wisdom, ask of Him, and He will give it to you. But you ask in faith, knowing that God is doing what He's doing, and He's allowing these trials and hardships in your life to refine you and to make you more like His Son, Jesus. And oh, by the way, as you're going and living life and you fail, if you sin, don't blame God, because that's your desire, that's your evil intentions that come within your heart that cause you, even in the midst of trials and hardships, it's your sin. It's not God who causes you to sin. And so as you go along, be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger, because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so as you're living life, James is reminding them, as you're living life, remember, you have some difficult people. You're under tribulation. There's going to be difficult times, but don't take your anger out on them. Don't produce that word that we looked at, the wrath. It should be translated in our translation, not anger, but wrath in English. The wrath that we think that we owe it to these people to get right with them. James says, no, God is in charge. God knows, and we can trust Him. So to be slow to speak and quick to listen. Listen for God and listen what He is trying to speak to you about. And as you go along, you have heard the truth, and you continue to hear the truth. Be listeners of the truth. Do the truth. The truth has set you free. It's the truth of liberty. It has set you free from the bondage of sin. Salvation has provided that through Jesus. And so James is reminding them, as you live, do as you hear. You know the truth, don't forget it. Like a newborn child looks into the mirror for the very first time and takes a glimpse at themselves and sees who they really are, and they're astonished. That is you when you've seen the truth that has set you free. Don't forget what you look like. Live it out. And if you think that your worship is all there, take heed, be careful, because what true worship is not about you. It is about serving others, he says. Last week we looked at the next chapter then, where James is encouraging them, don't show partiality. You are not the judge. There is only one judge. You struggle with that this week? Or did you forget that truth and then just live your week, and now you're thinking back, how did I do? How did I do with judging other people? Did I show partiality? It's hard, right? When we start looking at the truth of God and then we start looking at our own lives, and we're honest, maybe we have more of a sin issue than what we thought. And so showing partiality, he says, listen, do not do that. The rich, the poor, hasn't God chose the poor for his kingdom? Love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he calls them out and says, if you are showing partiality, you are sinning. He says, mercy triumphs over judgment, and the importance of living out mercy. And James continues his letter, and that comes to the context of where we're at today. And I want to read this passage. We're going to read verses 14 through the end of the chapter, and then we're going to come back and we're going to kind of dissect it a little bit and see the application for our life. So let's read it together in James chapter 2, verse 14, then we'll have a word of prayer, all right, and then we'll dig into it. James 2, 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and they shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Will you pray with me? Lord, we are thankful for your word. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us now to be able to open that up and to digest it and to look at our hearts. Lord, we need your spirit to work in us. Lord, left to our own selfish motives, Lord, and our own self, Lord, we're not capable of being able to dig into our own hearts because our heart is wicked and deceitful. It deceives us. And at times when we think that we don't have an issue or we don't have problems or we think of others that have these same difficulties that need to listen to this message, Lord, we are the ones who need to hear from you today. So, Lord, I pray that your word would transform us this very day. Help us to be hearers of the word and not just hearers in the sense of hearing what we spend this time talking about, but that hearing transforms us in our minds and our hearts to where we are compelled, we are moved, we are convicted to live out that truth in our lives. And Lord, we need to live out our faith. And the way that we live out our faith is through our works. And so help us, Lord, to be sensitive to what you're trying to speak to us and tell us today. Change us, mold us, make us to the people that you want us to be. We give you praise and thanks for the work that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Familiar passage, right? You probably heard this, some of you maybe a lot of times, some of you maybe this is the first time. It's a passage where a lot of people will turn to, and some great theologians have struggled with this, and some have not liked the book of James for this very passage, because they think it's contrary to what we read over in Romans, when Paul talks about faith and trust. And how faith saves us, and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts 16:31, and you will be saved to believe. And so you come to a text where James is not writing in opposition to that. He, in fact, is reinforcing the importance of faith. And so as we look at this, don't forget how much James is talking about faith and how critical faith is as we have this relationship with God. So as we walk through this, James says in verse 14, what good is it? It kind of reminds me of a great teacher that I had in our college and career class, and that teacher was my brother, my older brother. And at the end of every class, my brother Matt would end that class, and he would say, so what? So what? You've heard all of this. So what? What does it matter? You're going to walk out of here and be the same people, act the same way, talk the same way, do the same things. So what? And I think this is where James is saying, hey, what good is it if we're talking about everything that I've just been talking about? What good is it if you live this way? If someone says he has faith, what good is it if you say that you have faith but does not have works? Unfortunately, I think there are some who say that they have faith in Jesus Christ. But if you look at their life, and we are not judges of anyone's life, we've talked about that. Again, context tells us we're not to show partiality. Mercy, mercy, mercy. We're not the judge. But as I've heard before, we can be fruit inspectors, right? There should be fruit. You should have fruit. And as your pastor, someone who has been called to shepherd over you, I think it is my responsibility not to judge you, all right, but to come alongside of you and for us to think about how our lives look. Now, if our lives just look a certain way, but inside there is not faith, then we are living a deceived life. Faith is the starting block. And the writer, James, is not throwing away faith. Okay, he's not saying, well, you have to live by works in order to attain salvation or to have a relationship with God. He's not saying that. What he's saying is he is reinforcing faith. Faith is the building block. Faith is the base. I don't know if you guys play with Legos a lot. I don't do it a whole lot anymore, but every once in a while I do, all right, just because I'm a kid and I love playing with Legos, all right? But Legos, a lot of times there is a foundation, a starting point. You have to have that base laid out. And if you're building a Lego house, what's really cool is it comes with a sheet that is already laid out. All right, it's already there, and so you build upon that. And when you build upon that, that foundation is laid in such a way that you can pick it up and you can carry that Lego house anywhere you want it. My kids love going to the dentist. They used to love going to the dentist when they were smaller because they could play with the Legos, and there was a Lego table, and they would see how high they could build it. But there was a base that they could start on. They had to start somewhere. The start of our relationship with God is based upon faith. It is faith and trust that Jesus Christ came. He suffered and died on a cross. He was buried, and he rose again 3 days later. And he did that to take our sin away. Jesus' blood was poured out upon the cross to wipe away all of our sin. That's the only way that we could have access to God. It's not because of our works that lays that foundation. The foundation is faith. So as you lay that foundation of faith, say, I believe that Jesus is real. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he has covered all of my sins so that I can have a home in heaven. That is your foundation and your base. Your works will never, and my works will never be good enough to obtain God's love or God's mercy or God's forgiveness. Our works are like filthy rags. They're not good enough for a holy and righteous God. It is the foundation that is laid for us to build upon in our relationship with God. That foundation is faith. And so James is writing here. It says, if someone says he has faith, but he does not have works, what does that look like? Can that faith save him? He didn't say, can those works save him? Notice he's emphasizing faith. A lot of people look at this passage and they'll emphasize the works. I believe James is saying if you have a real and genuine foundation faith, if your faith is that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you're a Christ follower, then what he's going to say is, then your works need to show it. Because that's what you build your life on. What good is it, brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? James gives us an illustration here. He says, let me give you an example. Those of you who are scattered abroad, the 12 tribes, the believers of Christ who are going under great persecution and struggles and hardships, let me give you an illustration. When a brother and sister come and they're in need, and you say, well, you just hang in there, you hold on, it's all right, I'll pray for you, and you let them go, and you kind of push them away. The emphasis is here is you're not extending love. You're not pulling them in. You're pushing them away. You say, go in peace. Thanks for showing up at my door. I'm not interested. You can go. I'll pray for you. That's what he's saying. Here's the example. And he says, in verse 17, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So faith is the foundation, but the works in this story that he says, listen, if you got a brother and sister that's in need, your works will show that you have a genuine faith. Notice who he says that to. He doesn't say that you're caring for the whole world. Again, there's the Bible tells us that we need to love all. But who is James writing to here? Let's be very clear. To believers, to the 12 tribes who have been scattered. And in the context, this verse very clearly says, verse 16 tells us, brothers and sisters, if brothers and sisters come to you and are in need, are you going to tell them to go without helping them? Then you need to look at your faith and see, is it real or is it dead? We have a responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ to care for one another, to love one another, to help support and to be there for one another. There are times that is difficult and challenging because we all have certain needs, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual needs. It's all real. James gives us an illustration, a story of a real physical need. It's very tangible. There are tangible needs that we will see before us as we live this next year in 2019. And as you go from day to day and you see a tangible need of your brother and sister, you need to do all that you can and you need to ask the Lord, what would you have me to do to help care for my brother and sister? Because if you don't, if you just say, well, I'll leave somebody else do that or I can't do anything right now, if you push them away, you have to look and you have to question, is your faith genuine? God doesn't call us all to help in every situation. There's also times, and if you have children, you know this, there's times where we have to wrestle with helping provide for a real need or enabling someone to continue in a way that they shouldn't. That's hard. But you know what? James says something. If you lack wisdom and you need it, what can we do? What's that? We can ask. And so it's not just telling a person as we see it and view it or as they come to us with a need that we just push them and say, go. We ask of the Lord, Lord, give me a discerning mind, a discerning heart. Because I love this person. They're my brother, my sister. We have a saying in our family that sometimes when brother and sisters, you know, there's conflict, I tell them blood is thicker than any friend, okay? And that doesn't mean that their friends aren't important or their friends aren't valuable, but we have a saying that blood is thicker than friends. That means your friend is not as important as your sister or your brother. We need to care for one another and make sure we are the priority here at this time in our lives. Now, when they get married, that will change, and I don't want to talk about that right now. We'll talk about that down the road. But as the body of Christ, the blood of Christ bonds us together. And that blood, we are blood together. And in that bond, we need to view and see each other in that way. James is saying, listen, you're scattered, and life is rough. But let me tell you, if you have a brother and sister in need, don't just push them aside. You care for them. You find out how you can help them. And so he says, verse 17, he says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Again, faith is the foundation. Works is built upon that. Works does not get us in better, more favor of God. It's not earning more of God's love. Our faith in God, God has done all the work. We place our faith in Him. We trust Him. He loves us. There is nothing that can separate us from that love. Even my sin that Jesus died for and paid the penalty for can't separate me from God's love. It may hinder my relationship with Him, but that relationship is once and forever finalized when I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ died and rose again, He conquered sin and death, and that gives Him the authority to be our Savior. But faith without works is dead. He gives us another illustration here, another quote in verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. You have faith and I have works. You may know people in your life that say that. Hey, you have your faith, but I'm trying to live my life in such a way that I'm doing the best I can, and I'm serving over here, and I'm giving money here, and I'm doing this, and I just hope it's enough. And James says, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. See, in that illustration of the Lego building, we have this base, but as you carry that Lego house around, it is all the house. That base and then what is built upon it represents all Lego pieces. You can't separate it, because once you separate those works from that base, that house, it will fall apart. It's going to crumble. James is saying here, show me your faith apart from your works. You can't do it. It's a question that says, hey, listen, I'm giving you a question that I've already given you the answer. Show me your faith apart from your works. You can't do it. And I will show you my faith by my works. You're not capable of doing that, but let me show you what a genuine relationship with God looks like. It is faith shown through our works. So he says, verse 19, you believe that God is one. I love this verse. This is one of my favorite verses when we think about those who say that they believe that there's a God, which is great, and we need to have those dialogues. But as people try to figure out and work through their faith, it is not enough to just say that and to believe that there is a God. God doesn't want to just be in addition to our lives with all the other gods that we can have in it. All right? God wants to be the God in our life. And so this verse tells us, James says, you believe that God is one and you do well. Even the demons believe and they shudder. Okay, you believe that there's a God? Well, the demons believe that too. I probably was called a little demon when I was little. The older I've gotten, I don't want to be termed that. I don't know that anybody does. But to think that, okay, you believing in God is just as good as a demon. Or those who don't even believe that there is a God. Hey, even the demons believe that there's God. And they shudder because of who He is. He says, do you want to be shown, verse 20, do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? I love James here. He just gets right to it, right? He's like, you are a bunch of fool who think that you can just have faith in God and not have to live it out. This is us today, folks. This is the church in America. And there is a sifting that is going on. Do you want to be shown
That it's not just coming to church on a Sunday morning and checking the box. Do you want to be shown that it's not just reading your Bible and saying that you believe that there is a God? Do you want to be shown what a real relationship with God should look like? Let me tell you. And he offers two illustrations. Two stories that as the Jewish nation, as he's speaking to, that's their audience. His audience is the 12 tribes. Again, they're going to know, because of their heritage, their background, they're going to know these two stories extremely well. One, from a standpoint of Abraham, is their father. He is the father of their faith. And so as Jews, there isn't anyone higher than Abraham and Moses. Moses brought the law, and Abraham was how all the nation was blessed, and other nations as well. He's also going to share a story that not only pertains to the Jews, but he's also going to share a story of Rahab, somebody who was not Jewish. And so we have these two illustrations that James is giving to a Jewish believing nation and saying, believing people, and saying, listen, you want to know what your faith should look like? Let me give you two illustrations. One, so you don't think it's just Jews. The second is to think that maybe God can't use anybody. And so he starts with Abraham. Verse 21, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works. And faith was completed by his works. We can say that we have faith, but it's every day as we live out life that will prove and show evidence that that faith is real. That's how God has made us. That's the way we live life. If you want to know if your faith in Jesus Christ is real, you need to look at how you're living. Look at your works. Look what motivates you. Look where you're pursuing. Now, there are times where we may struggle, where we have times where we walk away from the Lord, where we try in our pride and our arrogance trying to live life the way we want to. But for the overall, there should be evidence, if we say that we have faith in Jesus, there should be evidence that that is true. And he says, Abraham, look at his life. Not only did Abraham say that he was a believer in God, Elohim, Yahweh, but his faith showed it. And so James is writing to remind him, hey, remember that guy that you say is the father of your faith? That guy that you really look up to? Remember how God says that he was justified? It was his faith working alongside of his works when Abraham took his son and obeyed God. God said, take your son, go up to the mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Again, in the midst of the promise that God would promise Abraham and Sarah a son, and that through his line the nations would be so abounding and so big that they would as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the sea. And now God was going to take that away? We read in Hebrews that Abraham went believing and trusting God. Not that he wouldn't have to kill him, but that ultimately that God would raise him back alive. Abraham's faith was shown as he walked every day. As he showed the nation and the people around him that God was real. He demonstrated his faith as he took his son and walked to the mountain and was willing to sacrifice him. That is true faith, because it was demonstrated by how he lived. Verse 22, you see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So these two things, as we look at it, James is not saying they fight against one another. Actually, they come alongside and they complement one another. Faith, Abraham believing God, was counted to him as righteous because he truly trusted God, and his life showed that. He gives us the next illustration. Verse 24 first, and you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Again, it goes back to his argument back in verse 18. Don't take that verse by itself. Don't take it out of the context and say, see, you got to have works in order to be saved. That's not what James is writing. He's told us a story. He said, listen, foolish people, understand that if you want to say that you have a faith in God, God wants you to live a life that honors him. He's going to ask you to do things that's going to test whether or not you truly believe him or not. And as you do those things, as you live that life, your faith is counted to you as righteous because you've shown, you've demonstrated that God is truly your God. I think today we have a fluffy faith. We say one thing in the midst of everybody, but as soon as life gets tough or the struggles or hardship, we often just wilter. It's like the Wicked Witch on The Wizard of Oz. As soon as the water hits us, we just shrivel away. But I don't want to do that. And this is not the life I envisioned. What about the life, the verse that says, I am dead, I died with Christ, and I am alive with him. But we don't want to die to ourselves. We don't want to die to the things of the world because we like them. We think they bring pleasure, and they do for a season, but it doesn't last. And so when we look at the text and the context, a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. It isn't just saying that you believe in God. Those works don't save us. Those works are built upon the foundation that we have a faith and trust in Jesus. And so it's not just the lip service. And so verse 25, he tells us the next story. And so in the same way was not also Rahab the prostitute. I love it. He didn't just say Rahab. He's calling her out. Hey, I'm not forgetting the way that she was living, but I want you to know God used her because she had faith, and her faith was shown. Was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? We're not going to get into a debate about her lifestyle or about a lot of other debates that we can dig into about Rahab. Here's what James is writing to them saying. Her faith was genuine and real. And we see that because of how she took care of the messengers. Whose messengers? God's messengers. She had a fear of God, that God was who he said he was, that she had heard about. This was the true and living God. And she had placed her faith in him enough that she was willing to risk her life to protect God's people. Verse 26, he gives a final illustration as he writes about faith and works. He says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, because you have a body. And everybody who has lived has had a body, but one day that body will stop functioning. And when that spirit leaves the body is dead. Gives us a good picture, right? As the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Folks, let me tell you today, if you say that you trust Jesus as your Savior, and you look at your life and you say, you know what, I don't know that there's a whole lot of evidence for that, I want to encourage you to dig deep into your mind, into your heart, and ask yourself, do I really believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Have I really trusted Him as my Lord, as my Savior? I'm not asking us to get on the edge and to all of a sudden start doubting our faith. I don't want you to doubt your faith. In fact, this text should give us confidence that in our works we can look and say, okay, there is evidence that I am truly a follower of Jesus Christ. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, let me encourage you, there is no better decision that you could ever make. I prayed that. We had our council meeting yesterday, our leadership meeting, and I prayed that there. I prayed it Friday, because through a series of difficult and challenging things in my life, and I've looked back, and birthdays do that, right? And thank you for all of your well wishes last Sunday. That was great. I loved it. It was encouraging to me. Birthdays help you to kind of reflect and look and say, wonder what my life could have looked like. What does my life look like? And I want to tell you, the best decision I ever made in my life was trusting Jesus as my Savior. And I hope that's yours too. And I hope it just doesn't one time, one decision. I hope it manifests itself in everyday decisions that you make. And that you're striving to look more like Jesus, your Savior. Have we arrived? Uh-uh. Did we get mad because there's water gushing all over? Yeah. God, work on me. I need it. There is no better decision. There is a walking away of people in their faith in Jesus Christ today. I am not the judge to say, were they genuine believers or not? Were they just people who said they had faith, but their works didn't show it? I don't know. I'm here to tell you today, examine your life. Look and see what does your life say about your faith? Is it genuine? Is it real? Or is it just something that you've added to your life? I pray and I hope that it strengthens our faith as we look at the works that we're seeking to do to please God and to love others. We don't do works to earn God's favor. He loves you and I as much as He ever will. And I'll keep saying that because I believe the Bible tells us that. It doesn't give us a license to do whatever we want. In fact, it puts on us a huge responsibility to manifest our faith and how we live it out. Our works. We do good works to show the world around us that our faith in Jesus Christ is real. Will you pray with me? Lord, thanks for this morning. Thank you for our time together. Lord, it is a privilege. It's an honor. I feel unworthy to bring your word. So many areas of my life that still need your work. Lord, I pray that my life would be lived in such a way where my works would manifest and show my faith is genuine and real. And I pray that for us as the body of believers, may it truly be evident in how we treat and love our brothers and sisters and how we live our lives. Our good works would show a genuine and real faith. That no matter what trial or hardship or struggle that we may be going through, Lord, we can always love you and love others. So help us to do that, Lord, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.